I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
This is continuous coverage of the attack on the World Trade Center from WABC Radio News. This is WABC New York.
And we are joined by our sister station, 1050 ESPN. We're in simulcast continuous coverage. We have Babita Hariani of the News Center. We have Curtis Sliwa. We have Ron Kuby. I don't think I've ever called you Sliwa before, excuse me. And John Gambling. We're now getting a report from NBC that all air travel in the country has been stopped. All airports have been shut down. And those planes that are in the air, obviously, are going to have to land somewhere.
Right. In fact, my mother's flying in this morning from London, so I'm wondering, in that case, what happens? They just land him in another country and keep him aside?
Babita, let's go to our newsmaker telephone right now, because on it is Director Robert Hybl, a retired FBI agent who served as the Bureau's Deputy Chief of Counterterrorism. Bob, what do you make of this situation?
To me, it's not unexpected. And we just saw a plane fly into it on TV.
Fly into what?
Well, we're looking at a rerun here.
Of what?
I'm not surprised, personally, by what's happened. It's just been a matter of wondering when it was going to happen. And actually, when Oklahoma City took place, looking at those scenes, it looked like Lebanon did in the 80s.
Robert, we just saw a picture of Air Force One. Do you believe in this situation the president and his staff will be moved to the airplane?
That's a Secret Service decision. I can't tell you what their emergency plans would be, but in view of what's happened at the Pentagon in Washington, I think they're going to keep them away from Washington personally. Well,
and all air travel ceasing for at least 7 hours, that's unheard of.
Certainly unheard of, but not, I think, an unwise move, because what you've got, of course, is the hijacking of the American Airlines flight from Boston to Washington. So it's logical that they may do, something else may happen.
That's new information. We had not reported that.
Which?
Hijacking of the American Airlines from Boston to Washington?
It was speculated. Okay. It was rumored that had taken place.
I think that's been confirmed now. The question is, where did the other plane come from, the second plane come from?
And, you've also heard, Robert, that there's speculation that a plane has crashed into the Pentagon as well.
Well, yes, or else a helicopter landed on the pad and they exploded it. I'm sure the Pentagon, has taken all kinds of measures to stop trucks and cars and so on and so forth.
When you were Deputy Chief of Counterterrorism with the FBI, this scenario of planes into the World Trade Center, was that discussed? Was that rumored? Had you heard from your sources that this was a possibility?
You have to remember, I was in that job 15 years ago, and what's happened is the whole terrorist picture has changed. So today, the leftists that were so active in those days are gone, and what you're facing now is you're facing the Islamic zealot. And we shouldn't be surprised by what's happened here, taking a look at the embassy bombings in
Well, not surprised,
Kenya.
But of course, shocked.
I think we're stunned.
You don't have any indication at this point that an Islamist group was behind this.
I mean,
because Colin Powell just recently, yesterday, denounced the right-wing paramilitaries in Colombia.
If I might interrupt right now, we just have pictures of Air Force One leaving Andrews Air Force Base. They're up and we don't know who's on board.
We assume the president would be on board, but we don't know that for sure.
Exactly. So, we're talking with Robert Hybl, retired FBI agent who served as the Bureau's Deputy Chief of Counterterrorism. Can you tell us anything more about plans that are in place, that what we might expect? I mean, we are watching and seeing and hearing unprecedented things taking place. New York City is completely locked down. Air travel has been suspended across the entire United States. Think of the numbers of people in aircraft that are being affected by that. What might we else expect this afternoon?
I think probably that a lot of people are just waiting for the other shoes to fall, if there are any.
You mean another attack?
If I were in doing this and I were doing synchronized attacks, I would be looking at doing something. I would carry it probably across the country.
Do you believe
whether or not that's going to happen? I don't know.
Robert, do you believe that there might be international troop movements that are going on at this point?
I don't see that.
Okay. You think that this is strictly a domestic situation?
I do not think it's strictly a domestic situation. I think it's an international situation. I don't think this is some attack by some loner who was a member of a militia. Who's
obviously couldn't be a loner now because he's got accomplices. But, Mr. Heibel, just a quick question for you. Is it unusual or odd that there would not have been a rumor or a threat? We get a warning that we're under some kind of a terrorist attack.
This is not some group that's worried about casualties. You hijack a plane and fly a couple hundred people into the side of a building, you're not worried about casualties. And why should they give a warning? They didn't give a warning in Kenya or Tanzania. They didn't give a warning in Saudi Arabia when they bombed the barracks there. All a warning does is gives the opponent a chance to take steps to counter them.
And Mr. Heibel, can you just give me your guess on who would want to do this? Maybe is there like one, two, and three as far as suspects?
I don't think it takes a genius to be, pick number one suspect, and that's Osama bin Laden and his group Al-Qaeda and their followers.
Would there be a number two in your mind?
That's them, but that would be my number one on my hit parade.
And would there be a number two on your hit parade?
I really don't have a number two at this point.
We're getting reports now, ladies and gentlemen, that there was a terrorist. This is a rumor. This has not been confirmed, that there was a terrorist attack on the White House prior to what we have seen here in New York.
We did have a report of a fire at the White House, and so who knows what they could have come from.
And just to kind of recap, we believe that Air Force One, we know that Air Force One has taken off from Andrews Air Force Base. There is no word as to where the president and his staff are at the moment. We should not forget that the World Trade Centers, both towers, the North and South Towers, are in flames at the moment.
And it does not appear that the
there's any sort of rescue
at all.
And those buildings have been burning. The first plane struck the North Tower at approximately 8:40 this morning. The second plane, it has been said that it's an American Airlines 767 from Boston, flew into the South Tower at 9:03 this morning. And so we are now talking over almost an hour and a half since this attack on the United States has taken place. There has been some sort of an attack on the Pentagon in Washington, and rumors that there has been an attack on the White House as well.
And our New York City Fire Department, which practices regularly in the high-rise buildings for just such accidents, so to speak, when a plane crashes into a building or a terrorist strike, obviously their full experiences are being called into play because the work they're being asked to do is extremely dangerous when you look at the pictures of the fire that continues to burn at the upper levels of the World Trade Center. I believe, though, originally, a gentleman, correct me, but the president was in Sarasota, Florida. That's where he addressed the nation. I don't believe he was in the Capitol Land area.
So when that Air Force One took off, where
was it?
It
was not from Andrews. It would have been from Sarasota.
I would think it was from Sarasota, although I stand to be corrected on that.
Mr. Heibel, thank you very much.
Yes, Mr. Heibel, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
And by the way, this is WAVD New York and WABC 770 in New York. We are simulcasting on our sister station, ESPN 1050. At the top of the hour, we're going to go back to ABC News coverage and continue to report on this tragedy. Again, both New York City and now the whole country impacted by what we now obviously all believe is to be a huge terrorist attack on the United States.
All right, we are going to go in just a few moments to ABC News. Let me just recap for the next few seconds what we know at this point.
And tell us about the traffic situation.
All right.
All right, we're going to go to ABC Audio right now.
And now this, it looks almost like a mushroom cloud explosion, this huge billowing smoke in the second tower. This was the second of the two towers hit. And I cannot see behind that smoke, obviously, as you can either. The first tower in front has not changed. And we see this extraordinarily and frightening scene behind us of this second tower, now just encased in smoke. What is behind it? I cannot tell you.
And this is a description of smoke that's just pouring.
We now apparently have another attack on the World Trade Center. Or at least another explosion.
Let's go now to Peter Jennings and the network to listen to the very latest.
Not there anymore. That should be it. Thanks very much.
It has completely collapsed.
The whole side has collapsed?
The whole building has collapsed.
The whole building has collapsed?
The building has collapsed.
That's the southern tower you're talking
about.
Exactly.
The second building that we witnessed the airplane enter had been, the top half had been fully involved in flame. It just collapsed. There is panic on the streets. Thousands of people running up Church Street, which is what I'm looking out on, trying to get away. But the entire, at least as far as I can see, the top half of the building, at least half of it, I can't see below that, half of it just started with a gigantic rumble, folded in on itself, and collapsed in a huge plume of smoke and dust.
We're talking about massive casualties here at the moment, and we have... Whew. That is extraordinary.
There is panic on the streets. There are people screaming and running from the site. The gigantic plume of smoke has reached me, and I'm probably a quarter of a mile north of there.
Peter.
Now, this is a... This is what it looked like moments ago. My God. The southern...
All right, we're really looking right now at a collapse of one of the World Trade Center towers we're listening to.
10 o'clock Eastern Time.
And the building, there must be massive casualties. The building, one of them, I believe it is the North Tower, is it?
I think they said the South Tower.
The South Tower completely collapsed.
If you wish to bring anybody who's ever watched a building being demolished on purpose knows that if you're going to do this, you have to get at the under infrastructure of a building and bring it down.
Peter?
Yes, Dan.
What appeared to happen from my vantage point, the top part of the building was totally involved in fire, and there appeared to be no effort possible to put that fire out. It looked like the top part of the building was so weakened by the fire that it just, the weight of it collapsed the rest of the building. That's what appeared to happen. I did not see anything happening at the base of the building. It all appeared to start at the top and then just collapse the rest of the building by the sheer weight of the top.
And now we also have, of course, the Sears Towers evacuated as well.
But I did see that the top part of it started to collapse. The walls started to bulge out, bricks, glass things coming out, and then it collapsed in on itself, and it appeared to just fold down from there, from the very top.
Thanks, Don, very much. Just looking at that, I don't know why, but I'm... Yeah. When was the last time the United States was attacked in this fashion? It was Pearl Harbor in 1941.
John? From the scene now, there's obviously massive casualties. Usually during these things, there's a little bit of a high pitch, but basic calm over the police radios among the emergency workers. I can hear them screaming, signal 1013, which is the police code for help, calling for help at the triage center, where other people who were already injured have been injured more, confirming that the building has collapsed. Dozens of officers, more civilians are injured. And we don't know, although I'd have to suggest, given the size of that building, what progress the evacuation was in of the tower that collapsed.
Peter. Yes, Pierre Thomas.
One thing I might add is that in recent years, the U.S. government has been preparing for massive attacks, but it's been primarily focused on biological, often bombing attacks. One of the things I have not heard discussed at all in government circles is the notion that someone would hijack a plane and perhaps fly it into a building. So one of the questions that I'm sure that will come out of this, if this indeed is a terrorist attack, is what kind of defenses did the U.S. have in place to deal with an event like this?
Well, we talked about that even, Pierre, just before you came and joined us, because at the Emergency Management Center, which is just literally in the same complex as the Trade Towers, they talk at great length about their preparations for a biological, a chemical warfare attack, how they closed tunnels. I mean, they've been very efficient, taken it very seriously for many years. I'd be a little surprised if the notion of an airborne attack on a United States target had not been discussed. But the notion of the intelligence services knowing absolutely nothing of what is going on today and saying openly right away they had no warnings whatsoever is, and you say something very important, if this is a terrorist attack, We just keep saying that on a repeated basis. Not having any notion whatsoever of what's going on is to be reminded not only of the efficiency of terrorism, but just reminded the efficiency of terrorism.
It's ironic. There's a chilling story. Lou Schillero of the FBI, who was part of the capture of Ramzi Youssef, who was the mastermind of the bombing of the World Trade Center, told me this story that he was flying over the World Trade Center in a helicopter with the suspect Ramzi Youssef next to him after he was captured in Pakistan. And as they passed over, Lou Schillero nudged him and said to Ramzi Youssef, you see, it's still standing. And Ramzi Youssef smiled and said to the FBI's assistant director, it wouldn't be if I'd had more money. This was,
in other words, more money to buy explosives, more money to run a more efficient operation than the one he ran from New Jersey in 93.
Exactly. And I mean, we may have seen the second coming of that plan.
John McCarthy is on the phone at the Pentagon. John McCarthy, we've now heard reports that three planes have been hijacked today. Can you confirm that? Jack McCarthy at the Pentagon? Okay, then let me go quickly to someone named Don Wright, who saw the plane crash into the Pentagon. Don, are you there in Washington?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell us what happened?
Yes, it was about 9:35, and I was looking out our 12th floor windows at 1600 Wilson Boulevard in Roslyn, Virginia, and I watched this. It looked like a commuter plane, two engine, come down from the south, real low, proceed right on and crash right into the Pentagon.
Went directly into the Pentagon?
That is correct.
Looked like a deliberate act?
A deliberate act, sir.
And can you tell me what direction it came from, Don?
It came from the south.
Came from the south, up along the river, across the land?
It came from the south.
Okay, and did you happen to look at your watch? We thought it was just a little bit before 10 o'clock.
Well, I was watching ABC News, watching the Twin Tower, and about the time I saw the plane, I watched it come in very low over the trees, and it just dipped down, came down right over 395 right into the Pentagon.
And are you fairly sure that it was what we sometimes describe and recognize as a small commuter plane?
Yes, it was.
Good, Don. Thank you very much. Appreciate your help.
You're
Don Wright, an eyewitness to the crash at the Pentagon. Now, we have had, as I said, reports today. There are hundreds of reports flying around, and so we beg your indulgence on us saying as often as we do, these are reports. They're sometimes unconfirmed. They're sometimes confirmed. We'll try to make it absolutely clear what we absolutely know and what we're uncertain about. There are now reports around of three aircraft having been hijacked today. So we have at least, because we've now had eyewitnesses to three apparently deliberate aerial assaults involving the aircraft themselves, two on the trade towers in New York City and one on the Pentagon itself, just described by Don Wright as a small two-engine commuter plane which came up from the south. And we now believe that three planes were hijacked, two of them from Boston and one from somewhere else. We are not yet sure precisely what's happened. John, you're listening. Just to clarify for people, John, who's one of our leading reporters on crime, knows New York City probably better than anybody in many news divisions. I cannot tell you where that happens. That's either a U.S. Air Force or Navy aircraft, fighter aircraft, now on patrol in what we've described as the no-fly zone over New York City today, lest there be one more attempt. John, go ahead.
They've continued evacuations in the area now. They're evacuating Battery Park City, which is a large apartment complex taking up many blocks across the street from the World Trade Center. And they've evacuated the federal court buildings where the terrorism trials of Ramzi Youssef and others were held. Anything that could be a symbolic target is now being emptied out in New York. New York is going into kind of a lockdown mode. I think you'll also see in Washington the same kind of air patrols have been scrambled around principal buildings there.
Okay. We have on the phone one of those people who makes his living analyzing terrorism. Kyle Olson, do you hear me?
Yes, I do.
I wonder if on a day like this anybody wants to be thought of as an expert on terrorism. Be that as it may, and assuming that and knowing that much of the country is shocked at the apparent breadth of this, are you?
Well, you know, this is the kind of attention that that has fallen more into Tom Clancy novels than into actual response planning. Having said that, we've been anticipating for a long time. We've wondered why it's been so relatively quiet. The suggestions of Osama bin Laden's involvement. What has he been doing since Cole? Other groups out there with a real or imagined grudge against the United States. The nature of the event is shocking. The fact that it's happened is not.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Really appreciate it. Kyle Olson.
One quick thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
One quick thing. The suggestions that are floating around out there right now, there's apparently this claim from the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine.
Right.
Very interesting to know. If this is legitimate, if this claim stands up, this appears to be the first time this group has targeted Americans. This group has primarily steered away from the more extreme end of the violence scale. They focused less on suicide bombings, more on gun attacks and that sort of thing in the territories against Israelis.
Well,
this is a very different tactic.
Well, if it is true, and of course, the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine was very much involved in attacking aircraft in the 1970s, which carried Americans. So certainly would accept your notion that it's a recent attack on Americans. Thank you, Kyle, very much.
You bet.
As Mr. Olson makes clear, there has been at least one claim, and those of us who cover this for a very long period of time are always suspicious of claims. People who cover international terrorism. I'm going to interrupt myself. Linda Douglas, our Capitol Hill correspondent, I think is on the phone, and if she's not, she already reports there has been an explosion of some kind at the Capitol. Is Linda Douglas on the telephone? Let's get her on the phone as quickly as we have. She just reported a couple of minutes ago that the leaders of the Congress, Senator Lott, Senator Daschle, the Republican and Democratic leaders in the Senate, had been taken to some undisclosed secure location. Our general assumption is that there's no panic involved in this, that somebody in the Capitol building and someone in the White House has a book which says that when these things happen, here, Thomas, maybe you can confirm this for me, when these things happen, there are certain modalities which you behave, and as you see the hierarchy of the American political establishment, the military establishment being attacked, you want to protect the chain of command.
Absolutely. The first thing they try to do is get everyone in secure positions so they can gather information and make decisions about what to do next. One of the things that law enforcement officials had been planning for is the notion of a multi-tiered attack, an attack occurring in multiple places simultaneously. Because one of the things they've talked about is that terrorists want to project more fear, as much fear as possible. And one of the ways you can do it is to have this notion that attacks are happening on multiple fronts.
Yeah, well, and there, we've never seen anything like this before in the United States, of course. And in fact, not seen anything like this in my record. I've been doing this for 30-some-odd years. I don't recall any multitude of attacks. We've had two or three. We've had two suicide bombers in a short period of time in the Middle East. We had the two embassies in Africa, in Kenya and in Tanzania, the attack two summers ago in the United States. But the notion that the terrorists, either an organization or organizations, plural, should be able to mount a concerted effort against the United States in this way, causing in this instance so many casualties, in the instance of the Trade Tower, certainly so many casualties, is going to astound people in the political and military and intelligence establishment.
Absolutely. The notion that you could have multiple attacks like this, they had been planning for it, they had not seen it. This is a extraordinary escalation, one that they were predicting would happen, but no one would think that would happen this quickly.
Okay. John Miller?
I think...
Let me just interrupt. I apologize again. We're now looking at a helicopter over the Pentagon. That makes perfect sense this morning. But given the fact that we're all sensitive to the presence of any aircraft, that was a helicopter that just flew across the screen. That is, and as we had one, at least one eyewitness said, this was an attack on the Pentagon from the south. He described it quite confidently as resembling a commuter aircraft, which is to say smaller than a small private aircraft and not as large as a commercial jet. It may have been a prop jet. It may have been a jet, but it's a smaller version of the jets which so many people in so many middle-sized American cities are now accustomed to seeing.
In terms of the realm of terrorism, this is going to be a real first test, literally by fire, for the Bush administration. You recall after the embassy bombings in East Africa. The Clinton administration waited about 10 days and launched a missile attack against the camps of Osama bin Laden, who they felt confident at that time they could say was responsible for it, and who's since been charged in it. In this case, I think this ratchets up...
This is the Pentagon we're looking at now, according to my monitor. And again, it is hard to grasp what part of the building. We do not know if they're in the courtyard or outside, but you can see that a fairly considerable amount of damage has been done. We do not know whether these are offices or storage areas. The Pentagon is full of many thousands of people.
You're listening to live coverage of an apparent terrorist attack on the United States of America. Live coverage from ABC News. I'm Jim Hickey in New York, joined by my colleague Karen Chase. Just to recap now, there have been three apparent attacks that we know of. Two in New York, one at the Pentagon in Washington. Shortly before 9 o'clock Eastern Time this morning, a plane flew into one of the twin towers of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan and exploded on impact. About 20 to 25 minutes later, as TV cameras from helicopters were rolling, a second aircraft flew into the second twin tower, the South Tower, and it too exploded on impact. About an hour after that, a third plane reportedly flew into the courtyard of the Pentagon, and it, too, exploded on impact. All three buildings are currently on fire. There are untold numbers of casualties. We have no idea how many casualties there are now, but thousands upon thousands of people work in both towers of the World Trade Center, and now there is only one tower of the World Trade Center. The South Tower has completely collapsed.
Terrorism at the World Trade Center. The latest update from WABC Radio News.
This is Phil Boyce along with Curtis Sliwa, Ron Kuby, Babita Hariani, and John Gambling. I think we're all stunned in here at what is beginning to sink in just over the last few minutes as to the magnitude and, of course, the collapse of one of the two World Trade Center towers is obviously devastating and monumental.
Yes, and in fact, we have on the line, as he's been all morning long, Commissioner Jerry Camerata of the City of New York, who was forced to leave the World Trade Center initially and was in the streets, I believe, when the South Tower collapsed. Are you there, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm here, Curtis.
Can you just describe for us what the scene was like and what it continues to be like with the collapse?
Well, it's no less a spectacular, dramatic, but in this case so sorrowful, as when you see a stadium being blown up purposefully. Floor after floor, from the high floors down to the low, one at a time being blown up. And just to see that in the background of all of us having to run away from it, it's just absolutely horrific. And now, continually, as probably many of your listeners are actually seeing concurrently on television, just to see these people falling out of the upper floors, it's just beyond belief.
Now, Jerry, as you were evacuated along with people working with you, do you have any idea of how many people might have been taken out of both the towers?
I have no idea about the towers. We were next to the towers, and I understand in that building there could have been 50,000 people. Yeah. These buildings are absolutely incredibly packed with people. I mean, now one has to suspect, with one tower down, for all of those that were on the lower floors trying to get down the stairs, to what extent they may still have been in the building. With all of the panic, it's amazing how many people are helpful and how many people are trying to console those that are not taking this very, very well.
But Jerry, you mentioned that you said that when the South Tower collapsed, you looked as though to you that the floors were being blown out. Were they collapsing on their own, or were there actual explosions taking place?
It looked like there were explosions one after the other. Now, whether or not that was reality in the final analysis, that's the way it looked. It looked just as if a stadium was purposefully being imploded, one right after the other, as the building started to come down. Tell you, our eyes were more on where we were going, not behind us, as to what was taking place.
Jerry, it looked like
the debris right now is all the way up to Duane and beyond, on all of the streets surrounding the World Trade Center.
So people who were standing around outside or emergency workers, they would have been, of course, in the line of the debris.
They could have been as well, and that came down so quickly. So anybody in that immediate area, I mean, we just don't know right now.
Well, now, Jerry Camerata, today is a primary day, an election day. I would think it behooves us just to cancel it because so many people can't even get an opportunity to vote, and we need the continuity of the service provided by the Giuliani administration to at least initially get us through this horrific tragedy that this city, no city in the United States, has ever experienced before.
Well, I guess your point is well taken, Curtis. Right now, I just think about the people that are out on the street and the help we're trying to get them. We'll leave it up to the wisdom of the politicians to decide how they want to deal with that. But certainly, this administration continually demonstrates its ability to come together and to mobilize.
Jerry Camerata, what's the administration currently advising people to do? I know all across the city people are hearing this. They're seeing this. Their loved ones are at work or at school. Is there any advisory, any advice? Are you telling people to stay where they are, to go home?
I know my agency, the Department of Youth and Community Development, has been evacuated, and I understand all other city agencies in and around the downtown area have been evacuated. Now, to be evacuated and where one can go, that will be something else. Since all of the bridges and tunnels are closed right now, the best advice I can give, if there is any evacuation from downtown, just simply walk as quickly and as carefully as you can, and just keep walking uptown away from the center of the city, and I would move a particular to the west side, where probably you'd be least vulnerable right now. But that's just my best evaluation, and perhaps not the best of authorities.
Jerry, it looked like when the World Trade Center building, the South Tower, collapsed, that it may have brought down another smaller building near it. Do you know anything about that?
No, other than what I just briefly, as going into one of the shops here to get to the phone, saw, it perhaps could have been the tower or the lesser building where OEM is, although I'm not sure. As you know, there's a connecting facade above the road between OEM building as well as the World Trade Center, and that looked like it had been damaged and it had fallen onto the street where many of the cars are.
Well, now, Jerry, Commissioner Jerry Camerata, with the emergency management building being evacuated because of the two tremendous explosions as a result of the airplane crashes into both towers, where are the vital services now that the city is providing being headquartered? Are they coming out of One Police Plaza?
I don't know. And again, I was only at OEM because of my role also as a member of the Board of Ed, trying to make sure that our schools down here were well protected and provided for. You'd have to determine that from the mayor's office, but I'm sure that is being coordinated without any difficulty and with great dispatch.
All right. Well, Commissioner Jerry Camerata, if you can continue to kindly keep us updated as this continued tragedy unfolds.
If I also may add kindly that any of the children that were any of the parents that have children in our down the City Hall area schools, PS 234, Stuyvesant, and a couple of others, those children are safe. They are in the cafeteria. We have security there, and they are being cared for well. And the principal is available if need be.
Well, thank you very much for your updates, Commissioner Jerry Camerata of the City of New York. We'll be hearing from him in the future, also getting other updates from George Weber, who's down at the scene of the collapse of the South Tower of the World Trade Center.
You know, on a good day, this section of New York City is hard to access. In this situation, I just wonder what the emergency services are having to go through just to get anywhere close to help anybody.
And I don't know if anybody, I'm sure you all caught it when Jerry said it, and we all had a gasp in here when Jerry estimated the number of people that were in the World Trade Center might have been as high as 50,000 people.
Oh, at least. Absolutely.
And
not to mention the buildings that surround that area downtown.
We are literally talking about a horrific attack on the United States of America. Earlier, someone compared it to Pearl Harbor. I don't know what the amount of death in Pearl Harbor was off the top of my head, but and we can't speculate now on what this might be. We won't know probably for days, but this is certainly rivaling that attack on the United States.
As we kind of recap and look back at what's happened so far, air transportation throughout the entire United States has ceased, and it will be shut down for at least 7 hours. That's the latest. We believe that the President of the United States has left where he was in Sarasota, Florida, and gotten aboard Air Force One. The Congress has been moved to a secret location. All of the Pentagon has been attacked, and therefore I would assume that the military hierarchy have all been moved to some sort of bunker somewhere.
Of course.
Because this is, as you point out, Phil Boyce, an attack on the United States.
Right here in New York, all the bridges are shut down, the tunnels are shut down, you can't get in, you can't get out, the subways, I don't believe, are functioning.
That's right, they're not
working. The stock exchange has suspended trading.
NASDAQ just decided not to open at all.
The consequence of this is mind-boggling.
It is, and it's something that we will be talking about this for many years to come. And just to recap, and you guys helped me with this because it was all happening so fast. We first saw about 10 minutes till 9 when it looked like that something had happened at the World Trade Center.
On the North Tower, and there were early reports that a plane had crashed into the North Tower. That was on fire. Then at 9:03, we were all watching live coverage of that. Another plane, it looked like a jet, it looked like a large jet, crashed into the South Tower. We then heard word that a helicopter or some other vehicle had attacked or crashed into the Pentagon. The Pentagon was on fire, and then just a short while ago.
Well, we've had also, though, conflicting reports about an original attack that may have occurred at the White House. No confirmation on that. An attack possibly at the Capitol. No confirmation on that. But what we do know is clearly the Pentagon and the World Trade Center have taken direct hits. There's no question. And there are many, many injuries and possibly many, many deaths.
And it does appear that a very good likelihood that the three planes that all attacked these facilities were hijacked this morning. We had the report that two of them were hijacked from Boston this morning. One of them apparently an American Airlines plane. But that's about the extent of it. We haven't been able to get a confirmation on the other two planes. And in fact, that information is a little bit sketchy, so we don't know for sure. But of course, all the airplanes now have been grounded, and all the airports have been shut down. And this whole country is under a terrorist attack, a terrorist advisory or warning, whatever you might want to call it, something we've never had in this country that I recall.
Well, we saw Phil Boyce, as was pointed out by the ABC TV news correspondent, 10 days after Osama bin Laden was successful in one of his attacks, the Clinton administration responded. And with that, there were the feeble attempts to get at him in his training bases, the Mujahideen training bases in Afghanistan. And remember the missiles that we sent into that aspirin factory in the Sudan. This is going to require quite the stronger response from the G.W. Bush administration.
And I think probably everybody would agree with me when we say that if we know who is responsible, the strongest possible action should be taken, whether it be individuals, paramilitary organizations, small organizations, or nations. But, of course, right now, there's absolutely no indication as to who is responsible for this.
And let me just say that we got an AP News alert from the Associated Press just a couple of minutes ago that at 10:23, that was about 4.5 minutes ago, a car bomb exploded outside the State Department. And that's all the information that we have right
at the State Department where?
In Washington, okay. D.C.
Obviously, whatever happened here, it was extremely well-coordinated, much better coordinated than any other attack in the United States or anywhere that I can think of worldwide had been coordinated in the past.
Well, we'll be going to an ABC News update to get caught up on all the latest information. Is that at 30:30, guys? That'll be at 30 seconds past 10:30. This is WABC in New York and WEVD in New York. We are in continuous coverage of this tragic terrorist attack on the United States.
Well, in fact, John Gambling, you were speaking with the terrorist expert who said very directly that the person who has come out overtly and said that he would continue to attack the United States both internally and externally was Osama bin Laden. He couldn't even think of any other potential individuals who were involved.
And you're absolutely right. It's just
we are watching a live shot now from Newscopter 7 of another building there. Going down. Is that, could someone confirm
for me? Is that the other tower?
Is that the other tower?
This.
It looks like the second tower of the World Trade Center has now also collapsed.
Oh.
The second tower is now gone. There is a big plume of black smoke rising above.
That marks the landmark.
Guys, can we go to Channel 7? Are they, can we bring Channel 7 up and see what they're reporting? Let's go live to Channel 7, WABC.
In which all of this has taken place in such a short period of time. 8:45 until now at 10:29.
Nina Pineda, can you hear us? Are you on the line at all, Nina? Nina is just a few blocks from there. And we do not have her amidst the chaos. We have not. We have not heard from Joe Torres. This is just so tragic that it's almost ridiculous to say, to try to talk through this. Right. It is so horrific.
Until today, the worst act of terrorism on American soil was the...
Let's switch over to ABC network coverage with Peter Jennings. He is now showing a shot that looks like something out of Beirut. That's the only thing I can
describe.
John
Miller, very briefly, you said to us just a few minutes ago that this was their concern, that they thought after the first tower went that the second one was vulnerable.
There was constant intelligence that terrorist organizations, and specifically that financed by Osama bin Laden, was trying to mount another series of attacks against the United States. Of course, they thought of the symbolic targets. The most symbolic was the World Trade Center, because it had been attacked yet not brought down. And it seems that those concerns that even caused the World Trade Center to hire a senior FBI counterterrorism official just weeks ago to try and beef up security have come home to roost. It's also interesting to say that there is no type of security
which would have prevented against this today. Well, that may not be true, because security operates in waves and concentric circles out around the world. Now we've lost the picture from there, so now we have it again. Well, wherever you are in the United States or in the world today, you can... The landscape of New York City has just been changed. And one has to assume that thousands of lives have been extinguished.
You're listening to live coverage from ABC News. Tragedy unfolding in New York and in Washington, as Peter Jennings just described. The second of the two twin towers of the World Trade Center has now collapsed upon itself. We can see smoke and debris drifting out over New York Harbor, passing poignantly, I have to say, in front of the Statue of Liberty, Karen, as we watch the smoke drift out over the harbor. Thousands of people work inside those twin towers every day. You can only assume that thousands of people were in there when the planes attacked the building. Unclear, Karen, how many people were able to get out between now and then, and that was about an hour and a half ago when the first plane hit the first tower.
That's correct, and as we've heard, we know that the two planes were both American Airlines flights. They carried a total of 150 people, 90 in one of the planes, 60 in the other. Again, felling both towers of the World Trade Center, changing the very landscape of Manhattan, and in what President Bush has called a terrorist attack, and in one that appears to be very coordinated. We also have a plane crash outside the Pentagon. We have some sort of explosion at the Capitol building, and a car bomb reported outside the State Department.
You're listening to live coverage from ABC News of these events as they continue to unfold. I'm Jim Hickey, New York, along with my colleague Karen Chase. Karen, I have to tell you, I'm almost speechless here. I covered the original bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993, and I recall during the trial of the people who were convicted of that bombing, one of them flew over, actually, in a helicopter when he was in custody, and he told the marshals that were with him, or the FBI agents, that looking down at the World Trade Center, he says, well, they still stand, and the man said they wouldn't be had he had more money.
I also recall that during that trial, one of the architects, or one of the someone affiliated with the architects, testified that the buildings were fortified with these very strong beams that go right up the side of the building, and he said it would be virtually impossible to topple the towers. And yet we look at the city that never sleeps, and there's a strange silence along with the smoke that's just wafting over the city.
We also have to say that there is tightened security all around the country in the major cities, Los Angeles, Chicago, Dallas, and in Washington. The White House, the Pentagon, the Capitol, the State Department have all been evacuated. Airports have been ordered shut down across the country by the FAA. Commercial airline flights that were in the air have been ordered to head to the nearest airport and land and stay there. Here in New York City, the crossings over the Hudson and under the Hudson River, the tunnels and bridges, have all been shut down. This, if nothing else, and certainly it's not nothing else, but the terrorist attacks have brought, if not New York, much of the nation to a standstill this morning. And this accounting of the casualties, the accounting of the damage, will take months, if not years, to work out, Karen.
Yes, and indeed, we did have one claim of responsibility by a group of a Palestinian group. However, when that group was telephoned, the leaders of the group denied responsibility.
That's the DFLP, right?
That's correct. So we really have no clue at this point as to who may be responsible for it. No one has formally claimed responsibility and confirmed it.
You're listening to live coverage from ABC News. For those of you who have just joined us, we'd like to recap. Three airplanes have crashed into American landmarks this morning. Two planes into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan. The third plane into the courtyard of the Pentagon. Both Twin Towers in New York, both of them 110 stories tall, incredibly have disappeared. They have collapsed upon themselves into mountains of rubble, a monstrous pile of a cloud of smoke and debris drifting out now over Manhattan and over New York Harbor. At the Pentagon, fires continue to burn. Smoke continues to float out over Washington. There was a report of some kind of incident at the Capitol. We're unclear about that. And a report of a car bomb outside the State Department. However, we do not know the extent of that. All these events are breaking even as we speak. There's a great deal of confusion between here and New York. President Bush, who was in Florida, has canceled his Florida trip where he was pushing his education program. He's headed back to Washington. Secretary of State Powell has shortened his trip in Peru. He is also on his way back to Washington.
And indeed, before President Bush got back on Air Force One, security did a second sweep as a precaution before the president boarded the plane. Again, the president has called it a terrorist attack. And part of the reason for the confusion between Washington and New York is many of our colleagues who are in those buildings, in the Pentagon, in the Capitol building, and even in the White House, were hurriedly evacuated. So they can't even tell us what's going on in some cases because they've been hurried out of the buildings.
Earlier, we talked to an eyewitness, Brian Lutz, who was in a building near the World Trade Center. He was on the upper floors of one of those skyscrapers in his office building. And although, Karen, he was inside the building, he said he could feel the heat from the explosion when the planes crashed into the buildings and blew up in a huge fireball upon impact. He could actually feel the heat through his windows in the building. Two of the planes, are we clear yet? We don't know if the third plane yet was hijacked, or where it was hijacked from.
No, but we do know that when it did crash at the Pentagon, it crashed on a helicopter landing pad. It did not land in the courtyard. It landed on the helicopter landing pad, which is just outside the Pentagon. It's just on the edge of the Pentagon building, close to the highway. And it caused a very smoky fire. There's also, there was smoke reported at there, and there we are watching live coverage of it on television. The smoke is still pouring out of the Pentagon building. So we have, and that is a huge building as well, and our colleagues were evacuated from there as well. So
and we can also see now pictures of firefighters in New York just wandering around now because there's virtually little more they can do. However, the firemen, the firefighters, and the civilians are all covered in white, chalky dust. They are just wandering around, it appears, in a daze. No fires to put out anymore. The buildings are gone.
And that's correct. We should also point out that the two planes hit the buildings probably an hour and a half ago. Is that correct? And it took about an hour for the first one to fall down, and then the second one came down in a huge cloud of smoke and ash. And one of our producers was in the dust as the was in among those being herded away hurriedly from the first one as it disintegrated into the ground. And she said she couldn't see her hand in front of her face, and it was quite terrifying.
At the risk of at risk of sounding trite, Karen, we're looking at a picture now that no Hollywood producer or director could conceive, a picture of Lower Manhattan from across the harbor, taken from Staten Island, and all of Lower Manhattan is obscured by smoke and dust. It is a surreal picture, it looks unreal.
As a matter of fact, some of the people that I spoke to on the street said they thought it was a movie. It didn't seem real to them. They thought that someone was, you know, pulling some sort of a prank, or this was a movie stunt or a publicity stunt, and they still couldn't let it sink in. They still couldn't believe it was happening. And I think a lot of people in the city feel that way. It's hard to believe what you're seeing.
It's incredible. Now the firemen, was simply there are two firemen hugging each other. There's quite nothing more for them to do. A third one is on the ground behind them, retching and coughing because of all this smoke and debris. Now we're getting a report from the Associated Press that a large plane or multiple large plane crashes in western Pennsylvania. We're getting this from officials at Somerset County Airport in Pennsylvania. We know nothing more about that. It's large plane crashes in Pennsylvania. No idea whether this is tied in to what is happening here this morning.
Is this one large plane that's crashed or several large planes?
Well, that is unclear at the moment. I'm going to try to find out a little more about that. But the only line we have now, large plane crashes. Rather, a large plane crashes rather than multiple large plane crashes in western Pennsylvania. If this is indeed connected to what has happened here this morning, it is quite clear that the United States is under attack, Karen.
That's correct. We do know that the two planes that crashed into the World Trade Center tower were...
You're listening to live coverage from ABC News.
This is continuous coverage of the attack on the World Trade Center from WABC Radio News. This is WABC New York.
You're listening to live coverage from ABC News. Of course, what's been happening all around the country, we're on a terrible state of alert after both of the towers of the World Trade Center in here in New York City collapsed after apparent terrorist attacks. We have finally on the line WABC's George Weber, who
George,
is live at the scene. How are you?
Are you there?
Good morning.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I am. Let me
We've been worried to death about you.
I was very close to the first collapse of the first tower, maybe three blocks away, and it was just this terrible rumbling sound. It sounded like a terrible explosion, almost like an atomic warhead going off, God forbid. And the next thing I know, I look up, and there is this giant cloud of smoke and debris, and it is making a funnel all the way down the street, and there is this mad rush from thousands of people who had flooded into the streets, almost stampede-like. But the one thing that I took note of was how everyone came together, picking other people up off the street and helping them along the way to get them to safety as people were ducking into buildings and the like, not knowing what was happening. Then a rumor had come across that another plane was heading that way, but indeed what it was a fighter jet, an Air Force fighter jet, which had been circling the area in a protective move, we understand. And then I was forced to evacuate the area, and I'm now probably a good 20, 25 blocks back, like thousands of others. They've evacuated tens of thousands of people from that area, and we are all standing back here mesmerized like everyone else, looking on to absolutely nothing, just what a lot of people have been able to see out their windows or on television, and that's that big, giant ball of smoke that just lays over downtown New York with the two biggest structures missing.
George, John Gambling, when you were standing three blocks before the first tower collapsed, were there still people evacuating those buildings, or had that pretty much been accomplished by then?
You know, it's uncertain at this point, but what I can tell you is that they had set up a perimeter around it, but there were tons of rescue crews very close into that, and I'm going to suspect many perished when that came down. If I was three blocks close, you can only imagine now the rescue crews, and I would imagine that rescue was still going on. They weren't allowing the media that close to the scene, so...
What was it like when the second building came down?
I saw that myself. That was the most amazing thing. I had ducked into a grocery store to get some quarters, and the next thing I know, I didn't hear anything, and people start screaming, and I see it just collapsing down, debris falling, and then again, a giant plume of smoke, and then that whooshing right down the streets as people were once again running. And I'll tell you this right now, the communication system is all screwed up, and I've got a line of people behind me wanting to use this payphone who want to call their friends and their loved ones and their relatives. So I'm going to have to periodically check in with you here as I'm walking through the neighborhood.
George, I've never been more happy to hear your voice.
Well, God bless you, Phil. And let me tell you, I can say this. This is probably the most frightening thing I've ever been through in my life.
Well, for all of us, you got to the scene so quickly. You were on the air with us about 9:20, and we had not heard from you in now about an hour and 15 minutes. And, you know, we were very concerned for you because we knew, you know, you're a reporter. Your job is to get there and get on live.
Yeah, and I have a very good friend who works on the 100th floor, and... God bless them.
You know, I think, George, a lot of people are feeling that way. A lot of people I've heard in the newsroom talking about friends and family that worked in one of the towers, and they're just, you know, trying to come to grips with what has happened. So much has happened.
Thanks, George. You get back to us as soon as you can.
You got it.
Well, I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to actually walk the flights of steps of the World Trade Center in a normal fashion as I have. It takes forever.
Right.
You can imagine, no elevator service, probably electricity knocked out, and the only method of getting to the bottom there is through those large stairwells there. Obviously, the workers there have trained ever since the first blast in 1993. But how can you get that many people out of such a large building so quickly?
No way to train for this or to prepare.
And then the emergency service personnel, because you know the firefighters, you know all the emergency service personnel, the cops and everyone else, in the building, downstairs, right at the base of the building. And some of them must be so terribly injured, and some must have perished, but they were definitely risking everything on the front lines there, no question about it.
We're told that all the federal buildings have been evacuated, and that must be throughout the country, definitely here in New York and throughout the country. They're evacuating all the federal buildings.
And just to quickly recap, not only that, but all of the airports in the country have been
shut down.
This was because of reports of hijacking of several of these planes that crashed into the World Trade Center. All of the transportation facilities getting
the
on
subways.
To the subways, the train stations, New Jersey Transit, LIRR, you name it, you cannot get on to Manhattan and you cannot get off of the island.
Talk about evacuating here in the heart of Manhattan, evacuating people to where?
To where?
Where do we go and how do we get there?
And we're told now that anybody who has loved ones perhaps coming in on transatlantic flights, they are being diverted to Canada. So you'll probably just have to sit tight and wait to find out where they landed and, you know, what's going to happen from there. It might be a few days.
The government of the United States has been evacuated as well to areas that are pre-planned for such an attack as this. The Congress was in session, was in the Capitol. There was an attack of some sort on the U.S. Capitol. They have been moved to a secret location. The White House has been evacuated. The president was in Sarasota, Florida, addressing an organization earlier this morning. We believe, from everything that we've heard and seen, that he is probably aboard Air Force One at the moment, and they again have procedures to cover situations.
Well, in fact, during the Eisenhower administration, they spent gazillions of dollars to build a huge bunker system so that Congress could actually be in session and continue deep underneath the hills of West Virginia
underneath
the
hotel.
But you know what, guys? When we heard of that, and we've all heard about that,
We laughed
because we thought, well, first of all, that was thought of during the Cold War when we thought there might be a nuclear attack on this country. Whoever thought that that would have to be used because of a terrorist attack?
My guess is that the Pentagon has been evacuated as well, that the senior military officials are probably aboard that airborne command center, which is a giant 747. There are actually two of those. My guess is that they are both airborne at this point probably as well, just waiting to assess the situation and control the infrastructure of an entire country, and you can expand it to the world because the implications of what has taken place in the last 2.5 hours will be felt probably forever in one way or another.
And I would have to think, we think of a typical hijacking in which the pilot is being told to go in a certain direction. I cannot imagine for the life of me if these were two separate airplanes hijacked from Boston Logan Airport that the pilots would actually crash into the building. There may well have been the possibility that the hijackers themselves were proficient in guiding a plane and they themselves decided to crash the airplanes that they had hijacked into that building. I just can't imagine pilots doing that. under any circumstances.
Well, of course not. They would have had to have been removed from the seat by someone or someones, and they would have had to take over the airplane, because as we watched the video of that second plane, which we understand was a 767 American Airlines out of Boston, fly directly at 300 and some odd miles an hour into that building, no pilot would do that. He would veer the plane. He would avoid that at his own peril.
There's no question now. I mean, everyone knows this is a terrorist attack. We just don't know who. Obviously, we want to blame somebody, and Ron, of course, reminds us all, don't jump to judgment.
Right. We need to figure out, obviously, who's responsible, and certainly we will support the swiftest possible and strongest possible
and
punishment
put aside
once
we
know
who's our political differences.
Course, right.
This is where Democrats and Republicans must come together. I say suspend the elections today, and let's follow the guidance of the president, of the mayor, and the other authorities who are in charge of this situation. We will be going, though, to our status report, as we have all morning long. We'll continue with our coverage afterwards. Don't go anywhere. Stay right here on WABC to get your updates.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
New York City's World Trade Center has been reduced to a pile of rubble. The Twin Towers collapsed after being struck by two planes in terrorist attacks this morning.
There was lots of smoke, and then the next thing I heard, an explosion, and the building from the top, the south building, just crumbled. Just completely went down. I saw it. It's hard to see all the pieces, but you could see it tipping over and just crashing to the ground.
She saw the first tower go down. The second one went down not long after that. It was the start of a series of mind-boggling incidents, including a plane crash into the Pentagon and a bombing at the State Department. Outside the White House, ABC's Claire Shipman.
The entire area around the White House has been completely evacuated. It's very quiet. The police seem tense. They're carrying automatic weapons.